Today's scripture reading is found in Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Jew and Gentile reconciled through Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. And it has been 15 months since I first came to Trinity. And thank you for welcoming me into your family. And right now is my family, our family. And I am sure in our lifetime, we have experienced exclusion, isolation, or in plain language, we have had the feeling of, I don't belong. Or maybe some have experienced segregation of some kind, the feeling of being isolated or excluded, or even segregation is very unpleasant. Perhaps you experienced it when you were young in the playground, or when you were in school, maybe when you are at work, or maybe you are experiencing it now. When you feel you are being excluded, feelings inside may be sad, angry, helpless, hopeless, unloved. The list goes on and on. Maybe revenge will emerge. Perhaps you will create a group bigger and better. Therefore, competition and hostility between groups arise. In a larger scale of exclusion, we will call it racism, discrimination, which means one excludes someone based on their skin color, ethnicity, or gender, and so on. But this is not a problem of today only. It happened in ancient history, even during Jesus' time. How? To the Jewish people during Jesus' time, there were only two kinds of people in the world, Jew and Gentile. For generations and generations, Jewish people were told by their ancestors that they are the chosen people of God, set apart. And the other, Gentile, are not chosen by God. To the Jews, the distinction between clean and unclean are critical. Jews are clean in the sense that they have the laws to tell them whether they are clean or not. And if you're not, how to be clean ceremonially, again to be acceptable in God's eyes. Where the Gentiles are unclean because they don't have the laws to follow to make them clean in God's sight. Therefore, they are outside God's favor. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, describes the Gentiles as dead because the disobedience to God and many sins are subject to God's anger. Paul continues in chapter 2, describing the Gentiles as outsiders, uncircumcised heathens, living apart from Christ, excluded from the citizen of Israel, did not know God's promises, live in a world without God and without hope, far away from God, strangers and foreigners. Jewish people will not eat with Gentiles for fear of defiling themselves. We could see the inscription outside the Jewish temple in Jesus' time saying, "Temple warning, no Gentiles. Foreigners must not enter inside the railing or into the courtyard around the sanctuary. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." That was how Paul was raised. Actually, Saul was his name before he met the risen Jesus. Saul abided to the Jewish law religiously. Even he was the teacher of the law. And I would call him the law enforcement officer of the Jewish people in Jesus' time, but with no gun. He is a zealot to the point of persecuting those who break the Jewish law. Well, we know from Acts 7:60, Saul was there when Stephen was stoned to death because of his faith in Jesus. Then the great wave of persecution began. Acts 8 continues to describe in verse 3 saying, Saul was going everywhere to devastate the church. He went house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into jail. He was not going to stop until he met the risen Christ. Saul lost his eyesight in Acts 9, and Ananias, sent by Jesus to lay hands on Saul, saying, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may get sight back and filled with the Holy Spirit." With the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not only his eyesight returned, but his spiritual eyes were opened too. Started in Acts 13, Saul was sent with Barnabas to be missionaries. The author Luke began calling Saul as Paul. Paul was transformed, filled with the Holy Spirit, received his spiritual eyesight. But Saul tried all his power to keep those who defiled God out. Now the converted Paul dedicated the rest of his life till death to bring people into God's family. He wrote in the letter to the Ephesians saying, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. When he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separate us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. With the blood of Christ, now we are included in Christ's household, members of God's family, citizens of God's holy kingdom. We are his house, joined together with other members, becoming the holy temple of God. God's dwelling by his Spirit. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally the riches inherited by God's children. Both a part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because all who believe in Jesus belong to Christ Jesus. Therefore, Paul continued to write, "Beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's fault because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. You were all called to travel on the same road." We are called on the same road and in the same direction. So we stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. We have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. And everything you are and think and do is permeated with the oneness. So we are included in the household of Christ, in this world of segregation, exclusion, and hostility. But Christ has already broken the wall of segregation, exclusion, and hostility. We belong to Christ. We are one regardless of race, ethnicity, and gender. No more exclusion, no more segregation, and no more integration either, but inclusion. Just like us today in Trinity. No more dividing wall in Christ's household. So I see the beauty in our church today. Timothy Paul Jones wrote a story about his adopted daughter. It goes like this. His middle daughter has been previously adopted by another family, but they never quite integrated the adopted child into their family of biological children. After a couple of rough years, they dissolved the adoption, and Timothy and his wife ended up welcoming an 8-year-old girl into their home. For one reason or another, whenever his daughter's previous family vacationed at Disney World, they took their biological children with them, but they left their adopted daughter with a family friend. Usually, at least in the child's mind, this happened because she did something wrong that precluded her presence on the trip. And so, by the time they adopted their daughter, she had seen many pictures of Disney World, and she had heard about the rides and the characters and the parades. But when it came to pass through the gates of the magic kingdom, she had always been the one left on the outside. Once Timothy found out about this history, he made plans to take her to Disney World the next time a speaking engagement took their family to the southeastern United States. What Timothy didn't expect was that the prospect of visiting this dream world would produce a stream of downright naughty behavior in their newest daughter. In the month leading up to their trip to the Magic Kingdom, she stole food when a simple request would have gained her a snack. She lied when it would have been easier to tell the truth. She whispered insults that were carefully crafted to hurt her oldest sister as deeply as possible. And as the days on the calendar moved closer to the trip, her rebellions multiplied. A couple of days before they headed to Florida, Timothy pulled his daughter into his lap to talk through her latest incidents. His daughter said to him right away, "I know what you're going to do," she stated flatly. "You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you?" The thought hadn't actually crossed his mind, but her downward spiral suddenly started to make some sense. She knew she couldn't earn her way into the Magic Kingdom. She had tried and failed that test several times before. So she was living in a way that placed her as far as possible from the most magic place on earth. In retrospect, Timothy was embarrassed to admit that. At that moment, he was tempted to turn her fear to his own advantage. The easiest response would have been, "If you don't start behaving better, you're right, we won't take you." But by God's grace, he didn't. Instead, he asked her, "Is this trip something we are doing as a family?" She nodded, brown eyes wide and tear-rimmed. "Are you part of this family?" She nodded again. "Then you are going with us. Sure, there may be some consequences to help you remember what's right and what's wrong. But you are part of our family, and we're not leaving you behind." However, her bad behaviors remained. Her choices pretty much spiraled out of control at every hotel and rest stop all the way. Still, they headed to Disney World on the day they had promised, and it was a typical Disney day. Overpriced tickets, overpriced meals, and lots of lines mingles with just enough manufactured magic to consider maybe going again someday. In their hotel room that evening, a very different child emerged. She was exhausted, pensive, and a little weepy at times. But her month-long disguise of rebellion had faded. When bedtime rolled around, Timothy prayed with her, held her, and asked, "So, how was your first day at Disney World?" She closed her eyes and snuggled down into her snuffed unicorn. After a few moments, she opened her eyes ever so slightly. "Daddy," she said, "I finally got to go to Disney World. But it wasn't because I was good. It's because I am yours." Jesus has created one new humanity, one new body. We belong to Christ. We are His. Not because we are good, It is because God's grace and mercy and his love for us. So Jesus says to us today, you are mine. As I was preparing the sermon, I keep thanking Jesus for what he has done for me. And this song spoke loudly to me, which comforted me greatly. So today, I decided to let you listen to this song, because it is through this song Jesus is speaking to you this moment. And therefore, our response song will be sung after the communion. So let us listen to what Jesus has to say to you.
To you in the silence, I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice, I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am.
Shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me.
Do not be afraid, I will come to you in the silence.
I have called you each by name.
I will lift. The world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now, walk and live. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow.
Jesus says, you are mine. It is at the table